Hey, you know, last week we opened up a little series, a kind of a mini series, because the mini series that we're wrestling with is in the midst of this time of the reopening, of what does it mean to begin to come out from under the rock of this pandemic in this past year, and how is it that we begin to re-engage? How is it we begin to reestablish what it means for us to be a church? How do we begin to even rework maybe a little bit of the DNA of what it means to be a new lifer in the midst of this world we live in? And I wanted to begin to look at that because part of the struggle for all of us as we come out of a time like this, an unprecedented time like this, is that there's always this yearning, and it's been going on for a year, hasn't it? This desire to go back to normal, because everything that we did was so odd and so weird and so difficult and so just cumbersome. Everything that we had to do was a challenge, because we were learning new things, and it was hard, and we were running into new problems because there were things we had never faced before, and we were having issues with one another because either we were too cooped up with them, or maybe we were too cut off from them. Whatever the issue was, that there was just this constant sense of turmoil. And now, as we're coming out of that weird time and that yearning for the old days, the good times, the back to normal, becomes part of our motivation. But I want to challenge us again. I think, and I said this last week, and I believe it is completely 100% true, that rather than yearning for going back to what once was and going back to the old normal, what God would have us do with a time like this, as odd and weird as it has been for us, is for us to reevaluate each and every new step, so that instead of going back to what we once were, we are open to becoming more than we ever have been. And so we looked last week. We opened up the beginning of a couple of chapters towards the end of 1 Corinthians, the letter of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament. Because in this part of that letter, Paul is talking to a church, the Corinthian church, and he is giving them instructions about what does it mean to be the church and how difficult it is for us at times to be the church, because we're so influenced by the world around us. And it's so easy for us to see the world, or to see the church, through the lenses of the world and all the divisions that come through this divisive world we live in. We think that we're in a new time, that the world is fractured and divided, as if that is something new. It's not. We're humans, and so that's just what we do. Maybe it seems more intense today because of social media or because of how things are on TV. But the reality is that we tend that way. We draw lines, us and them. We find divisions and reasons that we can be separated or somehow different from those around us. We allow for things to become problematic. We allow for things to offend us, to then draw this division between us and others. That's the same thing that was going on in this first century church in Corinth. We don't know that specifically because of what Paul says, but all of his answers seem to address that very problem. What we opened up last week, we opened up in 1 Corinthians 12, and we talked about this idea of being the body of Christ, which is Paul's solution to this division problem. He is saying that we are all connected. Though we are different, we are all made for one purpose. We are all made for one thing. We are all made to be one. In our differentness, he would say, even like a body has many different parts, but they all function together. They don't all function independently. You know, a hand is very useful, right? But if you were to remove it from the body and cast it away, what use would it be? It wouldn't be any use at all. And the body would be diminished for no longer having that hand. So Paul says, instead of looking at all the differences, yeah, there's hands, there's feet, there are eyes, there are ears, all these things. Yeah, there are all these differentnesses, but instead of letting those differentnesses, is that a word? All my teachers are shaking their head no. I appreciate you, John. He was shaking his head yes. That's a word. I know exactly what you mean. Bobby, there you go. That's a word. We just made it up, but it's a word now. But instead of letting all of our differentnesses, I'm going to use it. separate us and make us suspicious and make us whatever that divides us, because those are the reasons why we need one another. And so we talked last week briefly. I'll just do a little quick wrap up. What it was we said, even if we feel like we don't fit because we're not like all the others, that's right. It's exactly right. And Paul says that. The ear should not say to the eye, hey, I'm not like the rest of you, therefore I don't fit. No, he says it's exactly why we need one another. And we can't look around and say, hey, that person doesn't fit here. That person's odd. That person's a square peg in a round hole. Yeah, amen, hallelujah. They need to be in junior high ministry. You know, we just need to find our place. That's what it means to find our place, that niche, that how we fit so that we can function as one instead of constantly looking at all the reasons that we have to be divided. But that's the thing, that this idea that we are called to be connected was the heart of what our message was last week. We're taking another step because that last week was our first step. How do we overcome this barrier of our own sinfulness, our own divisiveness? We do it by recognizing our need to be one in our differences. And we overcome that through the step of being connected. Again, like I say, the hand is a great thing, but if you take it off the wrist and throw it away, it is no use any longer at all. And so the cool thing and the key thing for us that Paul has for us is that he says that no, we are all called to be connected. That's why as we move out of this pandemic and we've been separated for so long, how much we yearn for something called connection. We want to come back. For those of you who are out on the live stream, I'm so glad you're there, but I'm also so glad that I see so many faces beginning to come back, re-engaging, beginning to have a little bit more a sense of connection with one another. But it's not just here, okay? The goal is not just to find my seat at church. My goal should be to find my fit. How do I fit in this thing called the body of Christ? Following church today, if you would like a cup of coffee, it'll be available for you. Now, maybe you've already had coffee. You say, I don't need coffee. And maybe you think, that's no big deal. It's a big deal, isn't it, Mary? Because when you have a cup of coffee in the back of the church or out in the parking lot, you don't hop in your car right away. And what happens when you don't hop in your car right away? You connect. You begin to catch up with somebody you haven't seen for a while. Husbands and wives go to different conversation groups because we've been cooped up with each other for a while. So now we get to talk to other people. Yeah, Kelly, I see you. But we do that because we begin to connect. It begins to become part of our lifeblood once again. Small groups, prayer groups, Bible study groups, things that we've often put on the back burner because we haven't been able to be together, need to begin to start up again. Being a mentor to somebody or having someone mentor you are what we need to begin to make happen once again. And maybe not like it was in the past, but maybe even more. That everyone needs to know that it's not just finding my spot in the pew, but it is finding my fit in the family. And so my fit in the family goes beyond this 1 hour on Sunday morning. John Donne said, no man is an island. And I don't know what John Donne's theology was, but I know this, that he was touching on this very thing that Paul's going to open up for us even more today as we talk not only about the body of Christ, but how it is that we're fit, not just for connection, though, but also for service. That's the second thing Paul touches on here. And again, not going back to what we once were, but going forward to what God has for us. But pray with me before we move on to that service aspect to say, pray with me as we open up, as we re-engage, as we begin to touch people, that we would find other people who would be willing to facilitate groups and other members of the church family who would say, I would like to be a part of a group that is studying God's word, that is sharing with one another, that is praying for each other, that I could find some commonality, some sense of connection. We've had some groups that are already beginning to re-engage. Our Tuesday night group is beginning to re-engage now, kind of a post-vaccine group, I like to call it, because they were on hold for a while. Now they're back. Our Saturday morning group in the Bible study of Acts, you know, that's back, and it's got a virtual connection as well for those who are not quite ready to come back and be together, but they can still engage and have a sense of connectivity. We just launched, just this month, launched a new group on Wednesday night for women. And again, it too has that virtual connection. But there's more. There's a sense of yearning. But these are the kinds of things that we need to do. Our men's breakfast in Bible study that hasn't had breakfast in over a year. We've been doing a video study on Wednesday mornings, but we're getting ready to relaunch our get together for breakfast where we can look at each other, share life, and also share God's word together. You know, connection is what we are called to. And again, I suggest to you that it is more than it once was. But there is something more that God has here still for us. But today I want to take another step forward, not just through the connection. So pray with me for the leaders and for the groups and the things that will be getting started. If that is on your heart today, talk to me after church. Pray for it. Continue to pray for it because we need to see connection grow all throughout the body of Christ. Today, though, we're going to take another step in the goal, and we're going to go back into God's Word here in Corinthians 12. Because, again, not finding the comfort of our own old patterns, and beyond finding our seat, I want to find our fit. And so I want to talk about how God has equipped the church for all it needs for service. And I want to talk about the way God has wired you individually and uniquely to find fulfillment in the way that you serve Him. Those two go hand in hand, and that's where we're at today. So I want to talk about something called spiritual gifts. Because spiritual gifts, in the letter of 1 Corinthians 12, Paul introduces a thought, probably a new thought, to the early church, that this was something that each and every one of them have been wired in such a way, and not only wired, but gifted. And you know how it is when you receive a gift? Has anyone here ever received a gift? Okay. Yes. Okay. So think about it. Maybe go back in your history to a time when you were a kid and you're looking forward to, say, birthday or Christmas or some event where you know you're going to get something. And then all of a sudden you begin to see it. You see the package, you see the wrapping, you see all the stuff, and you say, whoa, this is going to be exciting. Because why? Because everyone wants to know what? What's in the box? Yeah, what's the gift? Did I get what I want? Oh, underwear. Yeah. I did need it, but it wasn't always my favorite gift. Socks. Yeah, there you go. We must have grown up in the same generation. Well, I think, yeah. No, but spiritual gifts. So Paul says there is something here. But again, as we open up 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to begin in verse 4 and pick it up right here where Paul is talking about how God has given each and every one of us gifts. And just like a child at Christmas time, we should yearn to understand what that gift is, yearn to find out what it is, to unwrap it, and then to begin to use it. I remember the time when I got a gift. I got a bicycle. Man, that's nothing better than that, right? Because not once you take the bow off, what do? You roll it out front, you get on it in the driveway, you fall down, you scratch your knee. It's great. It is just fantastic. Wound up in this little shrubbery I had off the side of the driveway. But that's okay. Learning something new, you're excited, you're engaging, you're practicing, you're learning, you're figuring it out, but you're enjoying that gift that you have been given. And that's exactly the same thing that Paul is talking about here, that each and every one of us have gifts. And when we talk about spiritual gifts, we often think, well, what is my gift? And we tend to, again, break down, divide. We begin to think about, what is it that I'm getting? But again, I want to suggest to you that what Paul is talking about here is to see how we are gifted in the context of oneness with the rest of the body. This isn't something that we should separate and divide over. This is something that we should be able to use as another step for how we come together. So notice as we begin here in verse 4, he's going to be talking about all these different things. Different. But notice how often he uses the word same. Referencing. In fact, same is really the message of this. Different is what we understand, but he wants us to see our sameness even in this point. So here it is. There are different kinds of gifts, Paul says. Each and every one of us have different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Again, easy for us to say, I'm not like you, I don't fit. Or you're not like us, you don't belong. But Paul is saying, no, over all that stuff, that's just all, that's all of our brokenness. That's all of our human frailty, that we don't get it right. That in all these differences, different kinds of gifts, different kinds of service, different kinds of working, different kinds of getting it done, these are all of our differentness. We're going to find that there is one God who's behind it all. We saw it a little bit on display even yesterday. You know, people in there knew how to boil water. Yes. Some people in there knew how to open up a can. Yes. Some people in there knew how to count. I need three cookies to go with these three boxes. I'm so glad we had people who were able to count. And some of us were just, you know, just there for the legwork. Here, carry these things out to that person. Okay, thank you very much. I can do that. Now, all these different gifts come together to make something happen. But again, it's the same God who's behind it all. Let me continue reading in verse 7. Now to each one, and again, hear the unity that is alluded to in this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, the message of knowledge by the means of that same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. Verse 10. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And to still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of what? One and the same Spirit. And He distributes them to each one just as He determines. This is a critical piece of information for us as believers because it helps us see our part in this thing called the body of Christ, and it helps us find our function in this thing called the body of Christ. But even more, it helps us find our purpose. Friends, this is good news here. I mean, there's great news at the beginning. We talked about our sins being forgiven, but this is great news as well, that your life matters. And this is the key for understanding how your life is intended to matter. Sometimes we go through life, we think we're just marking time, we're just spinning our wheels, we're just letting the days go by. But that's not the point. That's not what you were created for. You were created for something more. And here it is. This is where He's beginning to open it up. He's saying that each and every one of us not only have been created uniquely, but gifted specifically, so that your gift could be applied to this greater thing called the kingdom of God. And in the midst of this kingdom of God, you would find your place. And in that place, we find our fulfillment, because that is exactly what we were created for. Maybe you've wondered that in your past. What am I here for? Why did God create me? Is God even out there? Because I don't feel like I'm doing anything good. Maybe it's because we haven't discerned yet what our gifting is, or put our gifts into practice. That bicycle by the tree in my memory didn't do me any good until I took that bow off and took it out onto the street, well, driveway, and ran into the shrubs and began to learn how to ride on two wheels. There is something about this finding out who we are, what we've been created for, and applying it that begins to unleash in us something that is just as joyous as riding on that bike once I finally got down the driveway and learned how to apply the brakes before I went in the road. Anyway, a couple things about us for gifts. Now, I just want to just do this. This is not so much from the text. It is just for us to know. I'm going to walk through four key truths. When it comes to understanding gifts and how they apply to us, I want to talk on these four things just briefly, and then I'll come back around to how it is that we begin to apply them in our acts of service. First, every Christian, if you are a believer in Jesus, if you have a follower in Christ, then the Holy Spirit is indwelling within you. And if that is the case, you have at least one spiritual gift. People say this all the time. Oh, I'm not gifted like they are. Or I don't have any gift. I don't have anything to offer. That is a lie from the pit of hell. You hear that, you believe that, you don't need to believe it anymore, because we're believing the Bible to be true for us today. And this is the reality. Every one of us who has put our faith in Christ has been empowered and gifted by the Holy Spirit with at least one gift, and maybe more. Some of us have multiple gifts, some have different shades of gifts, but there is at least that one gifting. But that no one, number two, no one has all the gifts. There may be people who you feel are more gifted than you, who seem to be able to do things just well, whatever they do. They don't have all the gifts. If they did, they wouldn't need the body of Christ. They would be the body of Christ all by themselves. And none of us are that. So every Christian has at least one. No one has all of them. No gift, no individual gift is given to all believers. This is part of the difference that gives us hope for a sense of unity, because we are all mutually intended to be connected. And it's the Holy Spirit who gets to decide who gets which gifts. It's not you, it's not me. I don't get to turn my gift in, take it back. I didn't like this gift, so I'm going to take it back to the store and get something better. I'm going to take it back and get something that fits better. No, sorry, there's no return policy. Holy Spirit decides your gifts. And again, hear that. All of these work in one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them. He distributes them to each one just as He determines. So if that's the case, and this is the key for me to discover not only my fit in the family, but also my purpose in life, how do I know what my gifts are? Paul mentions the number of gifts here in this section, but it's not inclusive. It doesn't have all the gifts. In fact, I doubt that Paul ever made a complete list of all the various gifts, because I think the Holy Spirit is far more creative than Paul was at writing things down. I think there's lots of gifts. But if you want to know kind of how your gifts go, there's a couple ways we can do this. One is to experiment, try acts of service, do things and see what seems to fit for who you are. And I'm going to suggest that it means getting out of the boat, getting out of your comfort zone and getting out to do something that maybe you wouldn't have done before. Experiment with ways of serving and see if that seems to fit how you are wired. Second way you can do is you can talk to others around you who know you and say, "Mary, you've known me a long time. What do you think? Do you think I should try this? Do you think it would fit for me? Do you think not?" And you can either say, "That is not you," if you trust that person. Or she might say, "Oh no, that would be right up your alley." And lean on the body of Christ to help us understand how we are going to fit together. It may not be the way Mary serves, but maybe she can see a different way that she doesn't serve that I could, because we're made differently. And third and finally for today, I want to suggest this. You can go online. I know everything's online today, right? You can type it in on your Google search or whatever your search engine on your computer, and type in this word, spiritualgiftstest.com. And it'll take you to a site, and you can just click on the little link for take the inventory. And it will give you a test. It'll take you maybe 10 minutes to walk through and answer some questions. And then the test will kind of spit back information at you and say, "Hey, having answered the way you did, we think that you might have these particular gifts." And it will offer you 1, 2, 3, whatever, a number of gifts that seem to be maybe with underneath that, just by our answers, it can determine. Now, again, that may not be science. It may not be exact. But it's probably going to get you close and give you a chance to say, maybe that's how I'm gifted. Well, no wonder. You know, I need to be doing this more. You know, I've got a gift for leadership, but I'm not doing any leading. I've got a gift for teaching, but I'm not doing any teaching. I've got a gift for serving, but I don't take any time to serve. I've got a gift for hanging out with junior high kids. Nobody? Okay. I just thought I'd throw it out there, because again, that's a tough crowd. You know, we got to find the person who's gifted for that, because if you ain't gifted for it, get away. But if you're gifted for it, there ain't nothing like it. Why? Because that's how God made you. And maybe you've never determined that. Maybe you never found that out. There is something in us that calls us to involve and to jump on that bike and begin to ride and figure it out. Henry Van Dyke said this, that use the talents you possess. Use the talents that you possess. Even if you don't know you have them yet, find them. Use the talents that you possess. The woods would be very silent if no birds sang except those who sang the best. Think about that. If only the birds who sang the best sang, the forest would be silent. You'd hear one bird way, way, way far away. But no, the forest is alive because they're all singing. The body of Christ can be alive if we're all using our gifts in our various ways to find those acts of service. You know, our men's group next Saturday morning, Robert's going to have a crew. He's going to have guys there. He's going to have guys who are chopping up the fruit. And then it'll probably be Carton, because I don't think anyone else you can trust with knives. So, and you'll have some guys on the grill. They'll be grilling up the bacon. And then there's some guys you don't want to trust with, you know, with hot things either. So you got to find other places for them. You know, you'll have guys who will be making the coffee, and guys who are putting out the coffee cups for the other guys to have, or maybe guys who are helping set up the chairs or the tables. You know, there's going to be all our people who are going to come and help clean up when we're all done. There's going to be something that happens, that there's roles for everybody. And what happens when everyone does their roles is that we come and we have a blast. We have a great time. We just mean we all wearing our baseball caps or our New Life caps. Go team, that's right. But we find a way to say this is going to be fun because we're all enjoying each other. There's that connection. But beyond that, we're all serving. There's so many who are having a part in it. And is there anything better? Rob, is there anything better than putting on a breakfast like that? It's about as good as it gets, isn't it? It is. Yeah, and for all of us who didn't have to work too hard, but we just show up and eat, man, it's good too. But find your place. There are all kinds of roles, all kinds of things for us to do. You know, we're constantly looking, and again, especially coming out of this pandemic time, looking for how do we begin to do the things that we need to do as a church? How do we keep our technology running? We need more people on our sound team, more people on our computer team, on our stream team. There are people who we need who have gifts in these areas who could use them for the good of the church. How do we do this with all of as we begin to incorporate more in our music teams? Mary, you could probably use another musician or two. Frank, keep working on your guitar, okay? Keep working on it. We want you to do it. Okay, well, one of these days, Frank, we're going to see you playing that blue guitar with the lion on it right here in church, okay? So we'll keep practicing, keep working on it, and allow that gift to come out, okay? Because it is for the good of all of us. And that's the beauty of how this body of Christ things works. As we do the things that are good for us, because it fits us and we enjoy it, the rest of the body becomes blessed by it. So I just want to finally, this is a quote, you are uniquely equipped for a purpose. I want to leave it there. And this is a quote, this is from me. No, I didn't quote anybody else. You might have figured that out. Because this is the truth. I want you all to write it down if you don't have it. God's goal is not to get your butt in a pew. I know, I'm glad your butt's in a pew right now. But that's not God's goal. That's not what God says. Oh, this is the perfect church. A whole bunch of butts in the pew. That's not his goal. No, his goal is to transform your life for his service. That's what we're called to. That's the more that maybe we were missing before. But now is our time to move forward and say that is the future that God is leading me to. So discern your gifts, discover your gifts, figure them out, begin to practice them, begin to put them into play. Find your fit in the body of Christ. That's what we're called to. And next week we'll move into the 13th chapter. The secret sauce that makes it all work when it comes to being the body of Christ together. So Father, I thank you for this morning, and I pray that you would help us to take the next steps, whatever those next steps may be for us, to get us off the bench and into the game, to get us, whatever that analogy might be, to get us, you know, just simply beginning to open the gifts that you've given to us and put them into practice. Whatever it is that we need to do, God, that we would become part of this thing called your body, broken for your world. God, serving you in the midst of this life that you have given to us. So thank you, God, that you have invited us here. Continue to carry us out into the world with a new commitment to be your people, called for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.